Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's a nice song. It's the first song I learned when I came to this country. When we came over, we were under the jurisdiction of the U.S. government, the welfare that arranged for orphans to come over after the Second World War. There's only about four people here that remember that far back. But anyway, and we were brought to a reception center, not only my family, but others, hundreds of kids, like now, over there in the Middle East. We understand some of that from the news. Anyway, so they taught us things, and they gave us a little money to spend, to maybe a dollar a week or something, and then the leader offered to let us do some chores, and so I had the privilege of painting some old chairs and make a couple of bucks extra, you know, and you could buy more chewing gum, which you're not allowed to bring here. Anyway, but when I came here with Brother Arthur Waldfogel, I think Andrew is gone now, huh? Yeah, it was his father, you know, Brother Andrew. He brought us here in the spring of 49, and he taught us trust and obey. There's no other way. In the Bronx, we sang, "Hail, hail, the gang's all here, what the heck do we care?" Is that swearing? No, don't tell Kenny. You know, maybe, well, some of you are not old enough to remember that nice song, but trust and obey sounded something more positive and something to live by and to learn to know the Lord better. That's been our aim in this camp for many years now. We want to get acquainted with the Word of God and get to know Jesus better and to live for Him. And I spring questions on people sometimes in Canarsie. I'm from the Canarsie Full Gospel in Brooklyn. I know you people never heard of Brooklyn. And we have a little church there, and we've been there. I've been there for, I don't know, 48 years by now. And usually they fire you after 5 years and they choose another pastor. But in our system, we don't do that, as is nicht erlaubt. Anyway, we've been had the privilege of teaching people the Word of God, prayer meeting, Thursday night Bible study, and I found it to be very significant, very important, very necessary to stick to trust and obey, to stick to the Word of God, and it's important for us to know it. But sometimes I come up with some off-the-wall questions, which Brother Munsinger will not divulge, and some other folks I sprung on today. Remember Boaz and Ruth in the Bible, the story of Ruth? What was Boaz before he married Ruth? Now, those of you that know the answer, callate la boca grande, okay? I speak a little Spanish. He was ruthless. He had no Ruth. What can I tell you? You need to know the Word of God. Otherwise, a preacher can stand up here and just derail you, lead you some sidetrack. When you come to a fork in the road, they say to take the right fork. I don't know how much that applies. But I wanted to read the 50th Psalm all few days already, and Brother Ernie was dancing around the last verse here for a couple of times, and you quoted it. Took my sermon, but preachers do that, you know. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And it caught my attention because in the psalm the Lord is speaking. You notice in the psalms that David is speaking most of the time, or he's singing, or he's complaining, or he's praying. And in this psalm, the Lord is speaking. I'm going to read the whole psalm. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come. How many times have we said God already? Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous. I'm still learning English. Round about him, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me. Well, Brother Ernie has done that. You're saints, right? Amen. And we want to get to be better saints and older saints. Praise the Lord. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That word shows up towards the end of this psalm, we will notice. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. That's nice. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. That's what they did in those days, physically speaking, with animals. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. That's one of the key phrases in this chapter. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. That's the things that we have promised the Lord that we will do. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? Wow. When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him. Wow. What does that mean? He agreed with him? And hast been partaker with adulterers. It's bad news. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. That's lies. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother or thy sister. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set thee in order before mine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Then you have that nice last verse. I'm happy that the Lord put that in here, because I was beginning to get convicted here with all these bad things, the things where we neglect the Lord and we do our own thing, so to speak, and we don't have time for him. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. The Lord is still talking. I'm just reading what he said. When we talk a lot about praise and worship, and a good preacher could tell you the difference and write a book. Well, they have and made money on it. But anyway, praise is complimenting someone, I suppose. You did a good job. Or if you have children that excel in school, of course you should compliment them and praise them. But worship seems to be something a little more intimate, more close. We worship some people sometimes, whether we know it or not. People worship the stars of Hollywood one way or another. I was reminded tonight of an example of someone having a garage sale, and they came across an old motorcycle. And if your wife takes you to a garage sale, look out, hide your wallet, because usually they need everything. And we've had the privilege of cleaning out some people's apartments. I don't know how we got involved with that. And I still see some of that junk in my house. Anyway, there's this motorcycle, all the dusty and covered and not even running. And the old man said, well, how much you want for that? Well, give me $30. I don't know what the exact amount was. The story was told to me a long time ago. But somehow Harley-Davidson traced that motorcycle down, and they found out that this man had it. And she wondered, why does this outfit call me? You know, the billionaires, business people, they have millions of motorcycles. What do they want with this piece of junk? They said, well, clean off the dirt off the back plate and see what it says. It said the king. The king of rock. Some of you caught on that already, right? You know Elvis Presley. Anybody old enough to remember Elvis Presley? Yeah, one or two people. I was in the diner with Brother Hans Waldvogel once, and just to amuse him, I put in a quarter and I played one of his songs. I was a bad boy in those days. There were people that warned their daughters not to marry me because I was too wild. Well, they lost out. Anyway, I lassoed a dump truck once going up the hill. And I was a little bit like Johnny, their son. They got up on a tree. They call them ironwood. They're kind of this thick, and they'll bend over, and you can actually ride them down. You try it, Brother Paul. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, where was I? Yeah. And he paid $30 for this motorcycle, and they said, well, we'll give you $300,000 if you'll sell it to us. That's a good bargain. What is it? I hate to... I'm sorry I even mentioned, because the King of Rock isn't someone that impressed me. He had a good voice. He sang How Great Thou Art, and he sang a lot of other stuff. But anyway, be that as it may, because it belonged to someone important, it was valuable. We belong to someone important, and far more important than the King of Rock or the King of Pop, for that matter. We've seen the end of those things, those ways. And here, the Lord says that if you do this little thing, now he calls it offereth praise. Offereth. It isn't just the expression, well, I'm going to offer you my wallet. It's a trusting soul here. Well, I was offering that to him. But I think the thing offereth here is like the offerings that they did in the old days, like an example of that, that we in the New Testament, we offer, what does it say in Hebrews? The sacrifice of praise to God continually. I think that's in the last chapter of Hebrews. Whoso offereth praise as an offering. And even if it hurts, even if it's difficult, sacrifice indicates difficulty. Not that we're the sheep that's being slaughtered or the calf like in the old days, but it will cost us something to really do this thing. But the Lord says that it glorifies him. It lifts him up, makes him important. And there's more. To him that ordereth his conversation aright. The word conversation may mean your words, but it means more. It means our manner of life, as you theologians knew all that, right? the manner of life, the way I live. I order that to please the Lord aright. And what will he do? There's a backup promise there. Well, I show the salvation of God. If I do his will, if I'm careful in my walk and talk, the Lord will reveal to him the fullness of salvation, not just to be saved and have my sins forgiven, but there's more. That's just the beginning. In the old days, they used to say, you're just putting on your baby shoes. And we don't want to get distracted by anything of this world. It's so nice to be in camp. Up here, you can be a saint very easily. Praise the Lord. Well, why is it? Let me stick my neck out like I always do. None of you would be here tonight unless the Lord was here. I said that, I called attention to that back in Memorial Day already. We were here for the weekend. As I said, you know, were there 100-something people here usually? Our secretary knows the exact numbers of everything. But we were here because the King is here. No relation to Presley, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's here. It's his camp. And as you've been bored to hear already many times, I've been around here for about 68 years of, or 67 seasons, perhaps, I want to put it, of the 70. And I've come to appreciate not only trust and obey, but the blessing of God, the presence of God, the goodness of the Lord to me and my family. I say, Lord, I don't deserve this, but it's your faithfulness, it's your goodness, it's your mercy. Let it continue. I made a quotation once that Brother Eddie Waldfogel heard once, where I said, I pray for my grandchildren every day. And I say, Lord, keep them to 1,000 generations. And then let someone else take up the prayer, which is, of course, a stupid statement because I won't be here for 1,000 years. But anyway, he quoted that in a meeting at least once or twice because it rang a bell that it's important for us to pray for our children and our grandchildren. We want them to belong to the Lord fully and to serve him. And Some of you already have experienced that you've been here as a young person and you grew up and you got married and you had children and your children are on the staff and your grandchildren are on the staff. That's how it works. And it's going to continue that way until Jesus comes. And we want to learn to know him better and appreciate and worship him and offer this sacrifice of praise to God continually, not only in camp, of course, which is nice and easy, but when we go back to our different towns and cities, we want to be faithful to Jesus. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.